There's a medrash. Beginning of Parsha Shmos. Actually, beginning of Parsha Vayikra. Says Vayikra Moshe. The person calls to Moshe. Let's see if I can find it. By the Bar Hashem. Mekan Omer Kol Talmud Chacham Shein Bo Das Nevela Toi Bahimena. Talmud Chacham doesn't have Das. So even a Nevela is more valuable than him. So the Nevela is a dead behemoth which you can't even eat. So but you can give it to the Klavim to eat. So a Talmud Chacham without Das is less valuable than a Nevela. A Teder L'Choshekein. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Via Chochma, Via Neviim, Shehoitzi Yisrael Mitzrayim. Vayod Inasu Kam and Nisim Mitzrayim and Neros Al Yam Suf, Valu Lishmemorim, Vaharitar Min Hashemayim. Minisasik Bemavlechas Amishkan, so he's accomplished tremendous things. Excuse me. Well, Nichotzi Fly, Velifneim, Acha Koraloi, Shenemar, Vikrom Moshe, Vayadabir. But he didn't go into the Liflaim Liflim, right? Until the Bereshim called him in. Vayikra Moshe, and then he went in. I mean, had he went in without being called, he would be called. He doesn't have Das. And a Talmud Chacham doesn't have Das is worse than an Avela. So we need to explain this Midah of Das. What exactly is Das? And maybe what's the Mashal to an Avela, etc. But I think to understand that, I think we need to move backwards and understand a little bit about the function of Mishkan. Exactly the function of Mishkan. That's a challenging thing to understand for us, the function of Mishkan. There's a Ramban, which is at the beginning of Parsha Shmos, or at the end of Sefer Bereshis, depending on which version you have. So, after the first Sefer, which he calls Sefer Reishis, which is Sefer HaYitzira, Mechidash Arlam, Yitzira is called Noitzer, and the Ovis, which are an element of Yitzira, they set up a certain reality, which we're following to their creators. Shemnei Kol Mikrei, Yitzira Devorim, whatever they went through was a remez of what's going to happen to Klai Yisrael in the future. Therefore, after that's been completed, Sefer Shmos is about the Golus and the Gula. Okay, now, see, the Ramban then addresses the following question. He says that if you understand that the Sefer is about the Golus and the Gula, he asks a very fair question. Logic would dictate that Parshas Truma, from Parshas Truma and onwards, Sechara should belong with Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Yikra is the Sefer of the Karbonos. So the Karbonos are an integral part of the Mishkan. And logic would dictate that we should put all of that together. So Shmois, Ve'era, Bo, Beshalach, Yasiyas Mitzrayim, Yisra is Matan Torah, Ve'elim Mishpotim, Shetosim Lefneim is a Hamshach of Matan Torah, like Rashi points out, etc. At the end of Parsha Mishpotim, it completes the thought about the Sefer Abris and Nasa Ben Ishma. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the Shemayim and comes down with the Luchais, and everything is wonderful, which, and now, okay, and now there's something called the Mishkan, which you're going to be Makar Karbonos, etc. Why is that part of Sefer Shemayim? Why isn't all of the Parshias of the Mishkan part of the next Sefer? Well, we wouldn't call it Vayikra, because it would start with Truma, but right, the next Sefer, in Chazal's Lashon, Chazal referred to that as Taras Kahanim, which means it's the Lachas of the Karbonos. So logic would dictate the Sefer HaGula, the Sefer Yetzirah is Bereshis, it's also known in English as Genesis, which means Yetzirah. Exodus is Sefer HaGula. Leviticus is the laws of the Levites, the Kahanim, right? Taras Kahanim. But Midbar is Chayim Shapikurim, Numbers, and Mishnah Torah is Deuteronomy. Deutero is two. Nomi is law, the second law, Mishnah Torah. So the Greek names I pointed out before fit very nicely to the Lashonos of Chazal. So we won't call it Vayikra, we'll call it Taras Kahanim. It is. That's what it is. Taras Kahanim starts with the Lachos of the Mishkan. Why is it here? The Klai Yisrael should come back to their place in the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, back to Milas Avosam, that's when the Golus says Klaus was in a Madrega. They went into Golus from that Madrega. They get back to that Madrega, that's Gula. Shayotzim Mitzrayim Alpha P, Shayotzim Beis Avodim, Adain Yachshuv Golim, Ki Hoyab Eretz Lolehem, Nebuchim Amidbor. So that's not Gula yet if they're still wandering in the desert. The Kishabol Har Sinai, also a Mishkan. But once they got the Torah and they made the Mishkan and the Bereshim brings his presence back into Klal Yisrael and he's Mashu Shkinos B'neihem, so they went back to the Madrega of the Obis, which we know that the Obis had the Shkina on their tents. That we talk about the Bayobas, that there was this Ner Dolik and the Onan Kosher, that's referring to the presence of the Shekhinah, which was in the homes of the Ovis. Vehem Hemer Makova, Vaoz Nechshvul Geulim. So when they get back to that state of having the Roshim being Mashu Shekhinah, so being amongst Klal Yisrael, the Gula is completed. So the Gula is not completed until the last pasuk of Sefer Shmos, which says that the Bereshim's the Kodesh Amaleis HaMishkan. The Bereshim's Kovet is now there in the Mishkan, means the Bereshim put his Shkin in Klal Yisrael. Now we're Gulim. So it's interesting that there's something the Ramban seems to leave a point out. Okay, Nishma of Sefer Azeva, Hishlimo Inyan HaMishkan, Meyoyes Kodesh Amaleis HaMishkan, Tavid. Okay, Gevaldik. He said that they're not considered, they're still in Golos, because they're Beretz Lolehem, Nebuchim HaMidbar. So that's, the Gula isn't completed until, because they're still Golim, they're still running around the Midbar. So when are they Golim? When the Shekhinah is amongst them running around the Midbar. So he seemed to not address the question. Like, he raises the question, why over here? He says, you're right, because the Gula isn't completed yet. So when is Gula completed? He says the problem is because they're Golem in Midbar. And he says the solution is the Shekhinah is amongst them. How does that address this issue of Gula? So he leaves that hanging. Okay. The Rav Hirsch, in the beginning of Parshas of Eira, if those of you who have been listening to my shulchan over there, you should know this of Hirsch in your sleep. Okay? So he says, we have the Arba Lashonos of Gula. V'tzeitzi Yisrael mitachas Tivlas Mitzrayim, v'yitzalti Yisrael me'avod Yisom, v'galti Yisrael me'zron Atuyo, v'shvatim Gedolim, v'lokati Yisrael li lo'am. So that's Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin. So we have four Lashonos. V'tzeitzi Yisrael mitachas Tivlas Mitzrayim, the Russian will take us out from under the burden. The Bereshim will then save us from the Avdus. The Bereshim will beguile us. And then Makatis Kam Liloham. That's the four Lashonos. So Hirsch points out that if you look at the Bris Ben Abasarim, when Avraham Avinu was told what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael, Bereshim tells Avraham that they're going to be Geri Azarach of Eretz Lolehem. They're going to be Geri. Vavodim, they're going to be avodim. Vino Sam, they're going to be afflicted. So he says, you see, the parallel is Vino Sam is the siblois, this burden. The Avdus is the avodah sum. And the parallel between Geris, the opposite of that is Gula. So they went into the Golas in stages. They went from Geris to Avdus to the Kershi Hashibu, to the Inui. Bereshit says, I'm going to take you out from the last stage, the worst one first, then take you out from the stage of Avdus next, then I'm going to take you out of the stage of Geirus. So the first two we understand the flow very clearly. There's the Sivlis Mitzrayim, that's the Inui. Bereshit takes us out of the Inui. There's the next, the stage before that was they already went instead of Avdus, versus I'll take you out of that next stage of Avdus. How does the process of Geula address the issue of Gerim? What does it mean? So he finds that the concept of the word Geul, idea of Geula, you find is used in the Torah to an individual who is down and out, has nobody to take care of him. He has no relative to take care of him. V'meinu ish goel. We have the case of Gezel Ager. So he doesn't have any goel, doesn't have any relative who will take care of him. So now the person stole from him and needs to return the money. The ger is no longer alive. He has no relative to give it to. You give it to the kohen. You have in Parshas Bahar, person sells a property and he doesn't have the wherewithal to get it back. His goel, his relative, could come and get it and redeem it for him. You have the whole story in Sefer Rus about the idea that there's a goyel, that there's Ploni Almoni is the goyel, and he relinquishes his right to be the goyel, and Boaz becomes the goyel. He's goyel the field that Naomi is selling. So what is that message? He says the idea of a ger, the stranger in ordinary countries has no one to take his place, stand up for him. Any wrong done to the very lowest inhabitant, every other inhabitant sees an injury done to his own rights. A person who is a true, he's a toshav, you chaper with somebody else, you're chapering with me. Because once you're taking over, not dealing rightfully with the country, everybody's a danger. But the alien has no real right to be here at all, and finds no one who will be championing his cause. No infringement can be made on the rights of the alien because he has no real right to be here at all. That is the lot of the alien, the homeless, stateless one, without claims to rights to anywhere. That's the state of Geirus. So if a Goalti, if the Bereshit comes and says, in Egypt you have no relatives, no soul that feels itself injured by mishandling that you suffer, I stand as your relationship, your relation. I'm injured, I am hurt, when one of my children is hurt. B'ni b'chari Yisrael. You think that there's nobody who cares about Klal Yisrael, there's no Goyel, I am the Goyel. I am the relative who cares. So, B'ni b'chari Yisrael, you refuse taking care of my ill-treated child, I will make you realize what it means to lose one's child. So the message of Geula, the state of Geula, is no longer being that person who doesn't have a relationship. He doesn't have anybody to stand up for him, anybody to take care of him. There's somebody to take care of us, that's a Goyel. So that means they're going to be stateless, homeless, illegal aliens in a country. Totally open to whatever's going to happen to them. They have no protection. They're going to come back to a state of Gula, means they come back to relationships. And I think what Ramban is saying is that the Mishkan is when the relationship has been cemented. As opposed to the purpose of Mishkan is bringing Karbanos. The purpose of Mishkan is a voida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of Mishkan is that the Baruch Hu should be Mashiach Shkin and Klal Yisrael. That it's not that we have a one-time meeting, right? It's not the relative who says, you know what, when you really need me, I'll stop by, but I'm never going to see you otherwise. But rather, it's a constant relationship. That's the Geula which the Ovis had. That's the relationship that the Ovis had. That's Geula. Once you have that, that's portable. That's not limited to Eretz Yisrael, because that's inside of your being. Right? Medrash. So that's a relationship which is being created in Klal Yisrael. Gula is the state of a relationship. So the whole Sefer is to get us to that last pasuk. So Mishkan is going to be the vehicle to take the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and concretize it and make it real in our reality. So that's, I think, an important nakuda to understand about Mishkan. What is the purpose of Mishkan? We think of Mishkan as a hechatimsa to be makom kabonis. Mishkan is about avodah. It's the place of avodah. It's the makom avodah. The Rambam is safer about. He has a safer called safer avodah. That's the safer about the halachas of binyan beis hamikdas, etc. There's a safer called kabonis, which is. But it's all about this process. Mishkan is much more than that. Mishkan is the movement from being a person who exists in the world all by himself to a person who exists in the world with a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. The Medrash talks about the concept called Das. What is Das? those of you who should be familiar, everybody should at least be familiar with the Chachma, Bina, and Das. You say it in Shemoneh Esrei three times a day. Chabad stands for Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma, Bina, and Das are different spheres, etc. What is Chachma? What is Bina? What is Das? Chachma is information, book knowledge. Right? So I can learn, I can open up a sefer, get X amount of knowledge, I have Chachma. Okay. What's Bina? Bina is the root of the word Bina, is from the word Binyan, to build, to be Bina, to build something. It's to be able to build it with information. We would say to make a sushtel, to extrapolate. Right? So if I understand what the lumdus is, so that I can make a sushtel. If I have a barren fact, piece of information, I can't do anything with it. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't teach me anything. It's one piece of information. If I understand why, I understand the yesod, so then I can say, well, this is true over here, it's true over there, because this is the yesod. So Bina, we refer to Bina as understanding. Understanding is the vehicle which allows us to take what we have and truly chop what it means, and mainly we can build with it. We can create a whole world of understanding, of knowledge, based on one piece of information. I think I told you Maisa with the Reshiva, which when they were putting out the Sefer, the art school Sefer, so Rabbi Spiro called me to interview me for the Sefer, so I told him this story, and he told me he can't put the story in. Okay, so this is now you're interested, right? So Reshiva was learning in Tells. And so the storyline of the book goes that he went to Tells, which he did, after 3 years learning in Yisrael Chanan, now known as Rietz or YU. And so he was there for 3 years. And the Rishi one time told us, he says, so why he was learning by Rosh Soloveitchik. Rosh Soloveitchik, according to most of the Yeri Dover was a bigger guy than the Brisker Rav. He was the older brother, he was a bigger guy. He went a little different path, etc., but he was going out there and learning. And he was in the Rosh Soloveitchik Shir. So what is he leaving for to go to learn in Tells? So the Tells Rav came to America fundraising. This is in 1933. And Regifter had an uncle who had learned the Tells in Litta and told the Regifter that he should go meet with the Tells of Rav, talk to him, learning, meet him, etc. You know, maybe you should consider going to learn the Tells. So he asked the uncle, like, "Uncle, I'm very happy over here. I'm learning." He was learning Bahasmara Rabba in Rizal Chanan. He was steiging Gavaldik. He was in a Rosh Hashanah basic shir. She one time, actually, you know, I remember one time, I can remember offhand, but like he said over a shir, he said over a piece for a Rosh Hashanah shir, you know, a piece for Reb Chaim and Sefer, which Reb Moshe said over with another Kenetra, it wasn't in the Sefer. Like, you know, it's a whole different experience when you're hearing Reb Chaim and Sefer before Reb Chaim and Sefer was printed. Reb Chaim and Sefer was printed in 1936. So he was hearing it before it was printed, you know, telling us over the way Reb Moshe was giving it over. So he says, Dor Lertman Voshtet. Dort and Vetman Lenin Far Voshtet. He says, here in Brist you learn Voshtet. What? He says, in Tells you learn why. Far Vos. Says, "Regifter said, I wanted to know why." So that's why I went. That's what Shiva said. So Shiva told us some eyes like this. So there was. So the storyline is that he went to Tells and he learned, like, you know, 97 hours a day for 5 years straight, and he became, you know, a guy in all of Shas. Now that's true. If you see from his letters that he wrote back, he had a Rebbe here in America. He kept letters with, wrote back and forth. He basically updated him what he's learning. He basically went through all of Shas in those 5 years. Okay. So how long does it take to become a Talmud Chacham who's Charlotte and Shas? 5 years, that's like, you know, the line. It all takes is 5 years if you have Regifter's head and his Asmata. That's it. So when I tell them this story, he says this doesn't fit into the party line, so they're not going to print it. In Tells, there was a Galach that had been in Chicago for a period of time and learned English while he was in America. And then he went back to Tells. Tells was a city. Tells is kind of one of the larger cities in Lithuania. It was a city of 10,000 inhabitants. That's a large city. in Lithuanian standards. There was not one person in the city who spoke English, except for there was four American bachim learning in the yeshiva who spoke English. So this poor guy learned English. He didn't want to forget his English because he felt it would be something good to hold on to. If you don't use it, you forget it, especially if it's not your mother tongue. So what did he do? He says, the bachim used to take walks lunchtime. He says, the yeshiva said they would basically learn the whole day, but the lunchtime they would take a walk to get out, to get, you know, air out a little bit. They would talk and learn, and they'd take a walk. So the galach would wait an ambush to kapashmuz with the American bachrim. So, you know, ich gereden with, you know, with his chavrusa, they're talking learning, and all of a sudden the galach kupin on kagan and start shmuzing with me in English. And this happened on a regular basis. He developed a relationship with the galach. Good. So one day he borrows a science book from the galach, and he's reading the science book. So a little while later, he's walking with his Rosh Hashiva, Rav Yitzchak Bloch, the Rosh Hashiva tells in Europe, Hashem Yikum Domoy, and he tells Rav Yitzchak Bloch, he tells the Rosh Hashiva that he borrowed this science book from the Galach, and he's reading about science. So Rabbi Spiro stops, he says, listen, he's reading a science book, he has a Shaykhus to the Galach, and he's telling his Rosh Hashiva about it. Like, at three strikes already. It says, the Rosh Hashiva says to him, no, tell me something interesting that you read. That's the fourth strike, you know. He didn't even most of the shoes. Haste, and went to science, you know. He gave no Zagme Chiddush. So they discussed something about gravity. So the Gra'i says to him, he says, think about this. He says, imagine Newton had made his first law of physics, apples fall. Right? Let's say the story is true. He was contemplating the fact that apples fall. Apples fall. They always fall. He never said apples fly up. Apples always go down. First law of physics, apples fall. Emes? 100% Emes. Did he make it into the history? No way. Why did he make it into the history? Because he understood why apples fall. So he says, imagine a person learns Yeridaya. This Rashiva is saying over that his Rashiva said to him, a person learns Yeridaya. He memorizes 10,000 halachas. Let's say, for example, for argument's sake, there's 10,000 halachas in Yeridaya. He memorizes all 10,000 halachas. That's a great time of halacha. 10,000 halachas. He says, I'm worried it's gomer, because there's 100,000 shilas. So how do you paskin? But as a state for us, if you understand why, you can paskin a million shilas. So the assert is not vos state, but for vos. That's bina. So that's gvaldik. I mean, if that's chokhmah, that's bina. What's left? What's beyond bina? That's what bina is. I went from 10,000 to a million. What's after that? Rabbi Sira was masking that's a gvaldik maisa, but he said he can't put it in the book. But he did pay me back with another maisa which was not allowed to be put in the book, which is also a different time. Now you're really curious. Okay. So what's Das? Das, Pasuk says, V'yeda Adam eschava ishtoi, that Adam knew his wife. So Chazal said it's referring to the maisa of intimacy. Das is when the knowledge becomes something which is part of my being. There's a very nice sefer, came out, I don't know, about 10, 15 years ago, called Pathways to Personal Growth. See, he gives a mashal to Masber Das, and I think it's a Gemaldiga mashal. Says, let's say a person reads a fiction book, you know, a good work of fiction. So what happens, if you're like me, you get involved into the story, right? You can't put the book down. You don't realize what time it is. You're like you're busy, you know, reading the book. And next thing you know, it's 3 hours later. It's 3 o'clock in the morning because you started at 12 o'clock at night, right? And you read the whole book. But you lost track of time, and you get into the story, and you get like almost get emotional, like you know you have. It affects you. Let's understand something. You get the cliff notes of the book, and you read it. It doesn't do the same thing to you. The Cliff Notes, 20 pages long, tells you the whole, this 800 page book all of a sudden is condensed into 20 pages because all the stuff is fluff. And you know the whole story, I can take my test for English. So what's the, why is there another 780 pages if you can get the whole story over 20 pages? Because those pages make you connect to the story. That it's not something outside of you that you have knowledge about or that you understand. You feel you're part of the story. You connect to it in an intimate way. That's the Karech of Das. Das is when it becomes part of your being. It's not outside of you anymore. So there's knowledge which I know. There's knowledge which I know so well I can do something with it. I could build with it, etc. And there's knowledge which becomes part of my being. That's the meat of das. The description of a relationship between a husband and a wife is described as das, because if they truly connect with each other, they truly understand each other. If they don't truly understand, they didn't really connect. If I cannot truly get into your being and understand who you are, I didn't really connect to you. I remain distinct from you. So the best description of the idea of a chibur, where something bonds together, is the meat of das. Mishkan is the makam of das. Mishkan is the makam where the relationship we have with the Rishporuchu, it's not something which is chutz mimeni. It's a relationship which becomes intrinsic in my being. When a person walked into Mishkan, he left the world behind. He left the outside world with all of its distractions, with that which is intrinsic in his the fact that he's a chelik l'kami mal, that he's part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. All those distractions were moved aside, and he realizes that there's a deep connection inside of his being with his Creator. That's probably the deepest connection which can exist inside of a person. That's the meat of das. Okay, so we're moving closer to that. The purpose of Mishkan is a relationship. The name of that relationship is Das, and Das is a deep, intimate relationship with the Kadosh Baruch. What does it mean? Kol Tam Chacham She'ein Bo Das is Nevel Tavai Menu. What's the Das that he's missing? Okay, so a husband and a wife, they're very close, etc. They have a disagreement. So the husband wants to make up with his wife, so he decides to buy her a present. So he buys her a present, he goes out, he loves chocolates. For him, chocolates is poshut. Like, that's the most chavav thing that he has in the world. So he buys chocolates for his wife, very expensive chocolates. He comes home, gives his wife a nice note with a box of chocolates, etc. So Gavaldik, right? The only one problem, she doesn't like chocolates. But he's expressed a tremendous feeling to her. Mamash expressed a tremendous feeling by giving her a box of chocolates. I mean, what can be nicer than that? His most favorite thing in the world, he gave away. Yeah, but on her end, what she heard was he doesn't really understand her, because it's about his perception of the world. And the meat of das is to learn to connect to somebody else's perception of the world. That's what the Chiddush of Das is. You expand, Das is an expansion of knowledge, because I'm limited how much I can know. The Vilna Gaon says a fascinating line. He says, Kol Dibur Shel Adam is Loi with an Aleph, Loi Metavav. When I'm talking, it's not for me. When I'm putting out, I'm not getting anything. You're gaining. I'm just talking. When I'm listening, when I'm absorbing, I'm expanding. The meat of Das is when I can truly connect something outside of myself, I expand. Well, if I don't get that she doesn't like chocolates, I didn't expand. I projected myself onto somebody else. Gadol Mitzvah Voice and Mishena Mitzvah Voice, the Gemara says, what's the pshat? Ana Mitzvah Voice is a person who is not machriyah to do anything, and Pasha, he has such a love for Kadosh Baruch, he comes and offers it anyway. It's beautiful. It's buying chocolates. Mamish, But the Russian says, but I don't want it. I didn't ask for it. To me, it's not. If I'm not Machai of you, like, that's not what I'm interested from you. I have other things I'm interested from you, but not this. It's beautiful. You're showing your love, but you're not really getting me. It's about you. When is it about me? When you do what I want. The Mitzvah voice, it means he understands. The Russian comes and says, I have an expression from you, and you get that that's what you should be doing. And you're misboining in what does the other part of the relationship want, and you give that to the other part of the relationship. Ah, now you're giving. Now you're connecting, and now you're expanding. Because I you know, when I talked to the guys before, you know, the Chassanim, when I get around to talking to Chassanim, when I used to talk to Chassanim before they got married, let's say like that. I tell him over a story. He says, my wife and I did a seed program in Dayton, Ohio, I think it was back in 1993, And so the Rav asked me beforehand, the Rav was setting it up, who has a tremendous penchant for making like flashy types of titles, kirov titles for the sessions, etc., which I didn't know beforehand. Would I be willing to do it? My wife and I would do a session on Sholem Bayis. I said, yeah, I've done some Sholem Bayis counseling, etc., you know, I'll do that. I get there, and there's this big sign that says, you know, it's going to be at this and this neophyte from family's home, with, and they're inviting all of their non-from friends, love Jewish style, a free-roam discussion, everything you want to know about Jewish knowledge of love, dating, and marriage. I said, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. This does not sound good, you know. Love Jewish style, you know. Like that's, you know, I said, Shalom, I was agreed to Shalom Bayis, and all of a sudden it's love Jewish style, you know. So I told my wife, I said, we need to come in there with a plan of we are really controlling this conversation, because otherwise this free willing discussion could go not where I want it to go. So we started off. I came in, we gave everybody a piece of paper, and gave everybody a pencil. I said, okay, fill in the blank. Marriage is. Everybody got a minute, 2 minutes. Fill in the blank. Marriage is. What do you think it is? And I went around the room, everybody said what they think marriage is, then my wife and our answer was marriage is an opportunity for growth. Life is about growth, and there's no greater opportunity for growth than a marriage. Why? You have to understand that marriage means that I take somebody, two beings which are totally opposite from each other, put them under the same roof, 24/7, 365. It is a recipe for disaster. Absolute recipe for disaster. Like, you're going to get each other's nerves. There's a story, Dale Carnegie has in one of his books, has a story about a group of scientists which went to Antarctica for an expedition. So you go to Antarctica with an expedition, so you can only land the boats during the summertime. There's no airfield. You get there by boat. Right? So it's only ice-free 2 or 3 months in the year, so once they drop them off, they stay there for the next 9-10 months. Obviously, they don't live above ground. It's too cold to live above ground. They have caverns below ground where the scientists stay. So for 10 months, you're basically living inside these cavernous rooms, X amount of rooms that they've excavated, with the same 70, 80 people for 10 months straight. You go out once in a while, they go outside to do research expeditions, but basically they're staying in these same Dalai. Imagine we're going to take everybody and stick them in this same building for 10 months. You're going to be with the same 80 people for 10 months straight with no way to get out of it. And they're scientists with all the radio secrecies. You know? So he describes a story that he sits down the first day, this person was writing it, and the person across from him, his field is nutrition, etc. And, you know, he's researching the impact of adverse weather on the digestion, etc. Fine. So he also decided as a nutritionist that chewing food with the saliva and mixing with the saliva is extremely beneficial for digestion. 42 times. Every morsel of food has to be chewed 42 times before he swallows it. So scientist A is across from scientist B. Scientist B is chewing his food, every morsel of food, 42 times. So scientist A is like, this is like, you know, like, everyone, that's breakfast, day one. So Mazel, like, lunch, is same seats, nobody's switching it because we can't drive it. Everybody has the same spot. Lunch time, supper time. So the person who's writing the story says, at the end of 10 months, it took every ounce of my self-control not to commit murder. That's marriage. You have somebody who does little things which are not significant, and I take a little scratch and I scratch your finger to make garnished. I do it 1,000 times, it's a festering wound. How does it work? It works because I'm motivated to understand the other person's point of view. Most of us, our most precious value that we have, precious is our das, our understanding of the world. We think we get it right. We don't always act right, but we basically get it. And people don't see the world like us. We argue. We argue vehemently. We explain to them why they're wrong. We understand that, you know, we really get it. Yeah, we say lip service. I understand there's multiple, but deep down, I really understand. And when somebody's like, Pasha doesn't get it, see what I'm saying, don't see what I'm seeing, there's something wrong with them. Marriage is to learn that that's not true. There's somebody else whose opinion is just as valued as yours, even though it makes no sense to you. But when you do that, you expand as a human being. because now there's another way to see the world. And when you do that, you can then see, interface with your children and see that they also have valid points which you never understood before. It doesn't make any sense to you. But there's another way of seeing the world. And you can validate and respect your children. And then you can validate and respect your neighbors, and you can validate and respect the rest of the world. It's a tremendous opportunity for changing a human being from being self-centered, self-focused, and self-understanding. I'm giving away the most valuable thing that I have, which is my understanding. That's marriage. And that opened up the conversation, and we went from that direction. And that Baruch Hashem, Siyata Deshmaya, was able to direct the conversation in the right direction. Expansion of a human being is what life is about. The greatest expansion is when the human being is mevatel his das to Kadosh Baruch. The Baruch Hashem says, I have a sefer which explains to you what everything in the world is about. If you're willing to see the world from my viewpoint, you will expand tremendously. And if you keep seeing it from yours, you're going to remain the Talmud Chacham Shein Bo Das. So the Mishkan is the place where you're going to get an opportunity of Das. The famous Maisa that the Ramah brings in Teres Oila, that after the Churban Abayis, Yirmiyahu was sitting and crying. He was in Yerushalayim crying about the Churban Abayis, and Plato, who lived at the same time, ended up in Yerushalayim. Don't ask me this, why. And he sees this person crying over there. He asks who he is. He says, his name is Yirmiyahu. He says, you're the famous Yirmiyahu, right, who's known to be the greatest chacham in the world. He says, I don't understand. He says, yes, I'm Yirmiyahu. He says, what are you crying about? He says, the destruction of these sticks and stones. He says, you don't cry in sticks and stones. It's just sticks and stones. Anyway, it's gone. It's too late. It's crying over spilled milk. You are the greatest chacham of the world. How can you cry over such? It doesn't make any sense. So Yirmiyahu says to Plato, do you have any questions? Plato says, yes. He says, ask. And Plato asks his questions. And Yirmiyahu answers all the questions. So Plato says at the end of the conversation, he says, now that I've really seen it, your chacham, I'll go back to my original question. He says, well, in regards to your original question, why am I crying over the sticks and stones? This is where all that knowledge came from. And that the question that you asked me, it's too late, that I can't explain to you. You'll never understand. That's what the Ramah brings, and Taras Ali brings this story. Mikdash was the makom where the Ramban says at the beginning of Parashas Truma, it was a hemshach of Matan Torah. The Sanhedrin is placed next, because that was the place where the Baruch Hashem has a relationship with us. It's a place where we are open ourselves up to that relationship, and we expand ourselves and let ourselves accept the Kadosh Baruch Hu's being. We expand our view of the world. We expand who we are. Mishkan comes as a kapara for Chet HaEgel. According to Rashi, according to the Sephora, it's kapara for Chet HaEgel. There's a medrash, Parshas Kisisa, which says that Klaisel Chet HaEgel Sor Meher Min HaDerech Asher Tzivisi. What is Sor Meher Min HaDerech? Amr Shem Min Yechoi Yud Alf Yom Hoyu Ima Kadosh Baruch Hu Chavtes Yom Hoyu Mitzchashim Heklas Esa HaEgel. The 40 days of Moshe Rabbeinu on the Har, 11 days they were Neman to Kadosh Baruch Hu, 20 days ready they were contemplating Egel. Sor Meher Min HaDerech. And he brings a raya, Achras Yom Mecharev, after 11 days from Charev already, they're ready off. Okay. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, Chavtes Yom Hoyu Ima Kadosh Baruch Hu, only Yud Alf Yom Mitzchashim Lahiz Lachos Esa HaEgel. Okay. Rishim Ben Chalafdoim, Rishin Yomim. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda ben Eloy, Amar Yom Echad, Hayim Hakadosh Baruch Hu. One day they're named Hakadosh Baruch Hu. 30 days already they're contemplating Egel. Remeir Amar Af Lo Yom Echad Hayim Hayu. Elo Hayu Omni Besinai V'Amrum Befiim Nasa Benishma V'Libem Mechaven LaVerazora Shneimar V'Yafateu Befiim. Right, Zeh Shteit Remeir says that on by Har Sinai Klai Yisrael is already contemplating Egel. What does that mean? They said Nasa Benishma. They got the Ksorim. What does he mean? Nasa Benishma is the highest madriga a human could ever reach. But there's a challenge here. We, with our tremendous understanding of what's going on in the world, decided that Nasa Benishma is the right thing. So a person becomes a Baal Teshuva, he decides that Torah is emes. So it means he is the judge deciding what's right and wrong, and he came to the conclusion that Torah is right. So he is above the Torah. He's the final arbiter of right and wrong. He decided it makes sense. That's not Kabbalah Satorah. That's Kabbalah Das Atzmi. So Nasa Nishma, the great Hadrega, means Kleisel, came to the recognition that it makes sense. So they decided. That's Kategel already. That the root of that is we can do whatever, we can have whatever we want. So later we decide otherwise. Right now I decide this, now I say that. What's stopping me? Because I'm the final decisor, right or wrong. Mishkan is built by Bezalel. Bezalel, Chazal say, Bezalel Kele Yisa. The Altman Kellum points out that it stresses that Bezalel made the Mishkan Kasher. Siva Hashem is Moshe Kasher. Siva Hashem is Moshe Kasher. Siva Hashem is Moshe. Again and again and again. Why? Bezalel, one point, Moshe Rabbeinu said something. Bezalel said, no, that's not what Kadosh Baruch Hu said. He said the other way. He says, oh, you're right, that's what he said. Means if there's one person in the world who has a right to do it because he figured it out himself, it's Bezalel. He didn't do that. He did it because Kasher Siva Hashem is Moshe. The person who has a right to rely on his mind was the one who decided that's not the right thing, but rather be mavato and accept the Bershom's tzivui, see it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point. That's Mishkan. That's the Kippur of Chet HaEgel. That's when you can have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You kill the relationship with Chet HaEgel. You've destroyed it because you're not seeing the Bershom's viewpoint. You're seeing your own viewpoint. You're seeing the world from your eyes. That's not a relationship. When you see the world from Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, from the other side of the relationship, now you have a relationship. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't walk until Kadosh Baruch Hu calls me. With all of my understanding, it has to be a two-sided relationship. I can't force myself upon somebody. I have to be when he's ready to give, then I'll be able to be makabel. If I don't cop that, I have no das. So what am I? I'm a tremendously knowledgeable human being with tremendous accomplishments who deep down has no relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Medrash uses the Mashal of Nevela. It's a different time we talk about why Nevela, but what's the value of it? The last point, the Kuzari says that the lesson of the Mishkan is there's so many religions which want to connect to their creator. And they make up different types of ideas of how to do things, etc. By definition, it cannot work. The only way you can connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu is you listen to what he has to say. Only Kadosh Baruch Hu can tell you how he wants the relationship to be. Our minds can't grasp that without him telling us that. I need to understand his side of the relationship to have a relationship. I need to understand that she likes flowers more than chocolate to have a relationship. And if I'm so dense that I can't figure out until she tells me, I got a problem. But by Kodesh Baruch Hu, that makes sense. How is human being's mind supposed to figure out what that is? Until Rishon tells us what it is. So I can express a tremendous amount of love, of interest, but it's not a relationship. Until I hear the other side. And that's why Mishkan has so many details, he says. Because the Rosh Hashanah is giving us exact why. It's not important to me why. Why does she like flowers more than chocolate? I don't know, but it's irrelevant. If I want a relationship, my first step is to accept that fact and to recognize it and understand it. And then maybe I can start seeing the world from his or her viewpoint, why those are more valuable to her. But until I accept it, it's not going to happen. Until I accept the tzivri of the Torah and the prati-pratim of the Torah, it's not going to happen. Once I do, and I start doing them, I might see, I cop why that's so. But from the outside in, I'm never going to understand it. So sitting there from the outside and trying to understand why the Torah says X, Y, and Z, that's not going to work. From me, once you have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you're seeing it from his vantage point, then you'll start understanding.